Hi, you're listening to The Humans We Are with Carola, episode number 40. Hello, hello, my humans. I hope you are doing amazing today. Whenever you are listening, welcome back. If you are a returning listener of the show, I'm so glad to have you here for another episode of The Humans We Are. And if you're new to the show, welcome, welcome. I am so happy to have the opportunity for you to join in and share a moment with us. What I try to do here in this podcast is to help you find a more loving and accepting way of relating to yourself, your body, your future, your past. And there are a number of ways that I am available to support you, and I want to mention these briefly. One is by sharing information through this podcast, which is, of course, free. And if you would like more support, I also offer mainly through one-on-one coaching, a lot of additional support there. If you want to understand why you seem to sabotage yourself and your goals, if you quote-unquote know what you need to do to get what you want, to have the life you want, but for whatever reason you just don't do it, and it frustrates you to where you end up beating yourself up, I can help. So if you have a desire to understand yourself better, to stop being your own harshest critic, and you want to start making decisions in your life from unconditional love and not from fear, I can totally help. If you would like to know a little bit more about what would that look like for you, I invite you to a no-pressure conversation to figure that out together. Just go to www.carolafuertes.com/consult and we'll take it from there. All right, today's episode gives me a chance to talk a little bit about how I work with my clients. So what I offer, as I said before, is one-on-one coaching. We meet, just the two of us, 2 to 3 times a month and focus on what specifically is going on with you. What you want to achieve, what are your obstacles, what seems to be getting in the way, and how to remove any obstacles and any objections that you may have so that you can actually create the life that you want. As a bonus, I started offering this year a monthly group call that all clients are free to join, and also a monthly topic, mainly because it's fun for me to do that. And I go deeper into the monthly topic through videos, worksheets, guided exercises, Spotify playlists, and other resources. All of that is just the icing on top, because the main component, the main transformation, happens in the one-on-one coaching. So last month was March 2024. I chose the topic of building resilience. And before I continue, I invite you to take a moment and just feel into your body what comes up when you hold in your awareness the concept of resilience. Notice what's real. No need to judge whatever comes up. You may notice a longing or a pull, like, yes, I want me some of that. Or you may feel the opposite. So you may feel very solid around the notion of resilience, like it's a match for you, or you may notice some hesitancy, some resistance. You may not notice anything at all, and that's also 100% normal, seeing as so many of us have been disconnected from our bodies for so long and are not really in the habit of sensing it, that wouldn't be surprising. Now, either way, I want to dispel a misconception that I found in exploring this skill, because I think resilience is a skill, in exploring it with clients and friends. And I'm going to share how I define resilience, but first I want to get out of the way what it is not. And to do that, let me share a phrase that a client recently shared with me on one of our calls. She said, and this is in between quotes, if the canary in the coal mine dies, we don't need a more resilient canary. So see how that resonates for you. I've heard different versions of this sort of pushback every time that I bring up the concepts of growing your resilience or expanding your container for discomfort or building up your tolerance for discomfort. Clients typically say, why would I want a bigger container for discomfort? I want less discomfort, not more. The underlying fear or objection is that if I build more resilience or if I expand my capacity to hold discomfort, I am going to be worse off. I won't leave the undesired situation if I am able to hold more discomfort, right? And I understand the logic. It sounds like it makes sense, at least on the surface. If you have aligned with that line of reasoning, I don't blame you. I have myself in the past. But hear me out, because I am here to say that the complete opposite is true. Let me explain. Resilience is not about pushing through, about withstanding an undesired situation. It's not about changing your thoughts about a circumstance so that you can stay there. It's not about gaslighting yourself and invalidating your feelings. It is not about finding silver linings. So let's define resilience in a more helpful way. Resilience is a skill, and therefore it can be practiced and expanded. You can get better at it. That allows you to notice the discomfort that you feel in certain life circumstances and not escape them. That is the key here. In other words, it is the capacity to stay embodied while feeling the discomfort without making the discomfort a problem that needs to be solved or eliminated immediately just because it's uncomfortable. Consider that, generally speaking, life will offer plenty of opportunities to feel discomfort, right? You already know that. The amount of discomfort that a normal human life has to offer is independent from each individual's capacity to hold it, or in other words, level of resilience. Discomfort can come in many different forms. It can be a difficult boss, a coworker, or a difficult client, a strained relationship with your mother, conflict with your partner or spouse, normal difficulties of raising children. It could also be something like your clothes don't fit comfortably, you're coming down with a bug, with a flu, traffic is crazy, financial hardship. Think about how discomfort shows up for you in your daily life. Maybe you like to listen to the news on your commute. That can be depressing. Or maybe someone you love is sick. People expect you to do things for them and you don't want to, but at the same time, you don't want to disappoint them. You're trying to negotiate a contract and that's really uncomfortable for you because it means that you have to stand your ground and maybe disagree with the person in front of you. Anything really, anything can be a source of discomfort. So what happens when your capacity to tolerate that discomfort is low? At this point, I do want to stress that every part of you, your body, your psyche, your soul, your inner child, your inner critic, all the parts of your system are always working together to protect you. By no means is anything that you do, consciously or unconsciously, inherently bad. No part of you is trying to work against you, okay? But when your resilience is low and there's a bigger amount of pain, stress, frustration, any type of discomfort coming at you than what you have capacity to hold, your system will always use your path of least resistance to get you relief. So maybe you've developed a protective response where you dissociate from your body. This is very common when there has been abuse in childhood. Or you may have developed coping mechanisms like overdrinking or overeating, overspending, overworking, overfunctioning, people pleasing, giving up on your boundaries, checking out or not speaking up for yourself, or yelling and lashing out, or taking on more than your fair share of responsibilities just because not doing it feels so much more uncomfortable. Now again, there's nothing inherently wrong with these responses. They work, they have been effective, and they've brought you here. It's not really that bad, is it? But there might be some of these automated, tried and true responses to the normal discomforts of life that by now are having other undesired side effects for you, right? Like, for example, let's say that you have a difficult relationship with your supervisor at work, and they are controlling and micromanaging. They expect too much of you and not so much of your coworker because you deliver. So that ends up playing against you, and you're exhausted. You work overtime and still don't finish. You're at the end of your rope. But the thought of drawing a boundary and sticking to it feels so much more uncomfortable, right? So when you finally get home, you're so done that you can only think of opening a bottle of wine or popping the corn and sit in front of the TV and watching Netflix just to relax and get a little bit of relief. Again, nothing wrong with these behaviors per se, except that you are not taking any action to improve the root cause of the discomfort. You are inadvertently perpetuating your stay in these undesirable circumstances. Another example, you get home from work, tired, hungry, frustrated, and you find your partner hasn't started dinner, the living room is a mess, the baby needs a diaper change, and they are watching a show on TV. You feel rage building up inside and it feels scary. So you just push it down and start doing things instead of voicing what you need. You start dinner and you just try to ignore your feelings instead of asking for support and asking for the help that you really need, instead of stating your expectations or having a very needed conversation. A metaphor that I like to use is if your house is full of stuff, a mess, stuff everywhere. So it makes it very hard to clean it, right? And therefore it's not clean and you really dislike it. And if it makes you so uncomfortable and disgusted that you can't stand being in it, and every time you come home, you immediately go out, meet with friends, go for a walk, whatever it takes to just not be there or be there as briefly as possible, what are the chances that you'll ever clean up, that you will take the garbage out, that you will organize the stuff? You really need to be able to tolerate the discomfort of being there long enough so that you actually use it to drive the cleaning. So that way the discomfort becomes like a tool, like an engine. Ignoring, escaping, or numbing the discomfort it creates for you to see the state in which your house is will only perpetuate that undesired situation. Think about it. Everything you want and don't yet have is because the discomfort of what it takes to get there or out of an undesired situation is too much for you to bear. Whether you need to get out of an unhealthy work situation or personal relationship, or you need to say no more to others and do more of what actually makes you happy, or you want to go after your biggest ambitions and goals, growing your capacity to feel the discomfort while you take the necessary actions to create the desired outcome without giving in to the urge to escape or to ignore or to dissociate or numb. That is the skill that is going to get you there. It will make you sturdy. That is resilience. It is actually the opposite of the notion of if you are more resilient, you'll put up with more crap. You're only putting up with the crap to begin with because you can't stand the discomfort of what it takes to improve your situation. I hope that by now the question in your mind is, okay, how do I grow my tolerance for discomfort so that you can get yourself out of undesired situations? And there are many ways that you can try to expand it. And I teach the ones that I like the most because they tend to be the most successful inside my coaching program. But for now, I'll just give you the simplest so you can start practicing on your own right now. Next time you are in an uncomfortable emotion or situation, set the intention and make the conscious effort to stay a little bit longer than you normally would with it. So we're trying to create a pause. We're trying to create space between the discomfort and the action that you take to get relief from it. So either fix the situation or escape or numb or whatever it is for you. So name what you're feeling. Tell yourself that it is okay and it is normal to feel that way, that it's safe to feel it and nothing is going wrong. For example, you get home late and you're tired and hungry, like the example that I gave you before. Instead of pushing it down, pushing the resentment down or the anger or just letting it out and lashing out, stay with it a little longer. Tell yourself, I am so mad. I am so angry and I am hungry and tired. And it makes me so resentful to see my partner is not doing anything. It's just relaxing on the couch. Of course I am angry. Of course I am raging. It's appropriate right now. It is a normal human way to feel in a moment and situation like this. This anger feels really intense. It's hot and fast, and it makes me want to yell and lash out, but I won't just yet. Allow yourself to feel it as much as you can. Don't judge it. Don't wish it away. Don't try to cast it onto someone else. You'll see that the more you practice, the easier it will get. And the benefits are so many. You'll notice that you're not as reactive anymore. You will feel more powerful, more in control. You will be able to deal with the situation in a more grounded way. You will be calmer. That is resilience. And we all can use more of it. I hope this episode resonated with you. If you want to find out more about how I can help you build your resilience or anything else, I recommend to book a free consult, which you can do by going to www.carolafuertes.com/consult. And you can also find more about me on Instagram, where I am at Fuertes Carola. If you want to support the show, sharing it with a friend or loved one is the best way. And of course, giving me an honest rating and review goes a long way. Okay, I will be back next time. And in the meantime, set the intention to inhabit that pause, that space between feeling and acting or reacting a little bit more each time. And remind yourself that whatever you do, you're okay. You're worthy. You're loved. You are amazing. And I love you very much. So that's all for now. Until the next one, bye-bye.